If you've ever struggled with dieting and thought there's got to be a better way, then this is the show for you. Welcome to Intuitive Eating for Christian Women. I'm your co-host, Erin Todd. I'm a writer and an intuitive eater.
And I'm your co-host, Charlie Castle, registered dietitian and exercise physiologist. We're here to help you discover whole health for your mind, body, and soul.
That's right. Our goal is to embody scripture, ditch dieting, and live on purpose.
Woo! Woo! Yes, girl. In this episode of Intuitive Eating for Christian Women, we're going to explore the seventh principle of intuitive eating: cope with your feelings without using food.
But before we begin, let me give a quick disclaimer. This program is for informational and educational purposes only, and it's not a substitute for individual medical or mental health advice. Our aim with this podcast is to introduce you to the principles of intuitive eating and help you to see how those principles align with scripture so you can improve your relationship with food, your body, and God, and cast out dieting for good.
Yes. Amen. Every time you say that, I just say, yes.
I love it. Okay, so I want to start us off today with just reading kind of the summary of this principle from the Intuitive Eating Workbook, written by the original authors of the original book, Evelyn Triboli and Elise Rush. So we know what we're talking about here with coping with our feelings without using food. Okay. They say, find ways to comfort, nurture, distract, and resolve your issues without using food. Anxiety, loneliness, boredom, and anger are emotions we all experience throughout life. Each has its own trigger, and each has its own appeasement. Food won't fix any of these feelings. It may comfort for the short term, distract from the pain, or even numb you into a food hangover. But food won't solve the problem. If anything, eating for an emotional hunger will only make you feel worse in the long run. You'll ultimately have to deal with the source of the emotion as well as the discomfort of overeating. And the part that sticks out to me, especially as I'm reading it today, is in the beginning line when it says using food. Without using food, to me, that choice of words is very convicting.
Yeah.
I've definitely been there.
Yeah. So that's, I feel like we need to hit on here that there's kind of two ways to use food to cope. Some people use restriction to cope, and some people might use, eating to cope. And there's so much to say about all of this. This is one topic for me that when we think about talking about it, I'm like, okay, Charlie, focus. Because there's like so much that needs to be said. I want to make sure each thing is hit on here. So, yes. Erin, why don't you tell us kind of what your definition of this principle is?
So the way that I kind of paraphrased this idea and boiled it down for Christian women specifically is turn to God for comfort, not food. Food is not a good coping method, and it's not meant to be. Emotional eating and stress eating don't solve our issues. And when we take our struggles to God, we find a comfort that even the most comforting food cannot give us.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's true and it's biblical, right? Like God tells us he is the God of all comfort and we are to come to him and not put other things before him. And food is a good gift from God and food is emotional. When I work with clients on this, I often recommend read your Bible and highlight every time that people use food as a celebration, that they use food to grieve, that Christ shares food to show love. So food is emotional, and we eat for emotional reasons. Absolutely. That's normal and healthy. But this emotional eating is kind of on a continuum, and there's many different things that play into emotional eating. So we're going to go over that today. But one thing that I will say is that food has been a coping mechanism for you. Express some gratitude for that. Like, food as a coping mechanism becomes a coping mechanism for children often, or for many people with things that they experience. Controlling their food and either restricting or eating more becomes this way to have some control in maybe some situations that are really, really painful and abusive. I mean, who knows what you've been through. And so if food was there for you to help you get through that, like, let's just express some gratitude for that. You know, thank you, God, that I had that as a coping mechanism to get through that hard time. But, you know, I want to build up some more tools in my toolbox and not just be using food to cope. Does that make sense, Erin?
Yeah, it totally does. And I've never heard it put so well. And I've never personally expressed gratitude for that, because I was definitely using it as a control, mm-hmm. grasping for control. And, you know, if I hadn't found that as a coping mechanism at that time, I would have found something else that might have been worse. So thank you, God, that was all that was.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the definition in the workbook talking about, you know, food is just a temporary thing. And it's true. It is. It's a temporary thing. But I can think of, you know, so many clients are coming to my head right now in my own experience. There's so many people that the comfort that they got from food really helped them get through some awful things in their lives. So I always approach this in my own life by first giving gratitude for God. Like, thank you for that reprieve in the food. And now I want to, you know, walk deeper with you, that I don't need that coping mechanism so much. So
I love that. Yeah. I think we're going to keep describing this in the way that you just did, about it being a tool in the tool belt. And if that's a tool you've used in the past, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Thank God for giving you that tool. But I think what we want to do really in this principle is explore some additional tools and some other ways to cope that will serve you better.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's like, let's make a big clarification here that there's no shame here.
No shame.
Shame and condemnation come from the enemy. They do not come from the Lord. So you might get some conviction from the Lord, but he doesn't bring about shame. So coping with our emotions without food, that term emotional eating, is one of those things that can get non-diet dietitians like myself super fired up, because so many people think that they're eating emotionally when really they're hungry. Right. And so if you're restricting, if you're following a really strict diet and you're restricting, that's taking a think about how much mental energy it's taking for you all day to not eat, to eat less, to control, to restrict. Okay. That takes a lot of your energy and effort and focus. So then when something else comes into the picture that is super stressful or sad or overwhelming, or that takes your focus, it's like your guard is let down from stifling your hunger, and like the floodgates open, right? Your hunger cues are getting through because you're not working so hard mentally to squash them, and you eat because you're physically hungry. So we have to remember that too, that a lot of the times when people express like this emotional eating, it's often physical hunger.
Yeah. And I think that is just a symptom of how out of touch dieters can be with mm-hmm. their hunger, and how you're feeling You know, it makes you feel like you're crazy when you're totally drawn to the food. And that's really just your body saving you, trying to get you to survive. And you know, I struggled with that feeling as well. So I can relate to that. But it's actually a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing that your body is driving you to that food. So I like to clarify those things before we get in here, right? Well, this isn't like a tool to help you eat less.
No, let's clarify, while we're clarifying things, let's kind of unpack. I feel like some of these terms are interchangeable and some of them have some kind of important distinctions that I would like for you to explain, like the difference between emotional eating and stress eating or binge eating or just overeating. Like, I think a lot of people might mix those together if it's just they're eating and they didn't mean to be, but there's more going on.
Yeah, there's lots of different nuances and things. So, like, let me just say, right, like, I still eat emotionally. Like, I have emotions around eating, for sure. When I'm sick, I want this yummy, delicious bowl of chicken noodle soup, and that's emotional for me. It feels healing. You know, sometimes when I'm stressed, I choose the tool of having a piece of chocolate. And I think that that's normal, healthy, emotional eating. So emotional eating, I think this will clarify those terms for you. Emotional eating is really on a continuum, okay? So there's like sensory gratification. Sometimes you eat just to taste it. Just, you know, you just want the taste of it. It doesn't have anything to do with physical hunger.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, like sensory gratification is a type of emotional eating, normal, healthy, perfectly fine. And then sometimes we eat for comfort, right? So that's like one more step down. Sometimes we eat for comfort, and that makes sense, right? When you're mourning, when you're sick, whatever the thing is. Sometimes you eat for distraction. This was a thing for me. So when I would eat for distraction, like in college, to avoid doing homework, this was big for me. But that's pretty normal too. But what happens is, if you are a dieter, if you're following a strict diet, if you're trying not to eat, or I mean, who knows what that's usually what's going on here. And you eat for distraction or you eat for comfort, there's this guilt or shame that can kind of start to build. That was my experience. And then the emotional eating, instead of being comfort or distraction, it came like numbing or sedation. Like, now I'm just really going to eat to like totally abolish this whole thing, to the point of like punishing myself for eating. Like, I ate because I ate for comfort or I ate for distraction, and now I'm eating to try and like numb the anxiety and panic that's coming from that. And now I'm finishing all of this because that's what I deserve for eating all of this anyway. And it's like this big punishment. That's where like the continuum of emotional eating has totally swung the other way. And this is not serving me in any way.
Yeah. I think that's when it's becoming, you know, harmful at that point.
Yeah, like, exactly.
We're not even just not coping well. We're creating more problems for ourselves.
Exactly. So, that's how I was. This is really like this continuum thing. And our goal always when we're coping with things, right, is to help us get through those things as healthy and as smoothly as we can. Sometimes that involves some food, but we want to have other coping tools that help us work through the problem and move on instead of creating more pain and suffering for ourselves.
Yeah. So where does it begin for somebody who feels like they may have used food this way before, or they have a pattern of responding to emotions in this way? Like, where do you start?
Well, it's this whole thing of intuitive eating is increasing awareness of what's going on. So if you're here talking about coping with emotions without food, I'm hoping you have worked on your hunger and fullness cues. You've been working on getting in tune with your body. You've been practicing some mindful eating. And this is similar in that same way of practicing some mindfulness, being aware, maybe getting quiet with the Lord. What's going on here? You know, am I using one of the biggest things, you know, like, am I emotionally eating? Am I using food to cope? Or am I really responding to physical hunger? Or, if, you know, if I am really using food to cope, like, what's that about? And then asking some questions, when does this happen for me? When do I recognize that I really get like triggered into this?
Yeah, this part of it really helped me to just kind of understand my emotional patterns and just what kind of sets me off. And I just kind of learned about myself a lot in this kind of digging into this principle and just noticing what was there that I was just powering through before. It's like, oh, I tend to do this when I get stressed. Or, oh, feeling sad makes me seem to always want to do this. And, I don't know. I can't believe figuring that kind of stuff out in my 30s, but there it is. Better late than never.
I think that we'll could be figuring stuff out for the rest of our lives. I'm positive of that.
Yeah. Well, and because it evolves too. It's like, as I grow as a person and as seasons of life change, triggers kind of change, and I just have to continue to notice. And you're never done paying attention to what's going on in your life. So
yeah, and I think it's so important to remember too that when we're talking about noticing and paying attention, we're talking about like neutrally observing, right? Just we're not making judgments, we're not shaming ourselves, we're not condemning ourselves, we're just observing what's going on just to create some awareness. And then when we do that, when we start to actually ask questions about, oh, like, what am I feeling? That's, I'm not physically hungry and now I'm wanting to eat that food. What am I actually feeling? It's like this gift of being aware of what's going on, recognizing, oh, I'm feeling sad. I didn't even realize I was feeling sad. But because I stopped to pause to ask what's going on, I'm recognizing that. And then we're recognizing that. So then what do we do, right? Like what's a way to cope that's going to be more long lasting? What's the biblical response to stressors?
Yeah, because once you're slowed down enough to notice and observe, then you're making the choice. Then you're doing the work. That's the part that's the work, I think. You notice, it doesn't take a whole lot of energy to be aware and notice things, but making a choice that's going to serve you and honor God is like that choice is an opportunity. You're taking a step forward in faith as you're doing that. Like you're growing as a person and as a believer when you're choosing well and bringing God into the equation and trying to honor Him with what you're going to do.
Yeah. So if you're, Erin, if you are turning to something, I don't know, to you, maybe like, I don't know what it is. You're having some, it might not even be food, whatever, some coping mechanism, whatever your thing is, okay, whatever your maybe not so awesome coping mechanism is, if you turn to that, is that like, you know, it's that red flag of like, so like, for me, I'll be like, wow, I've gone back to those cookies 3 times now and I'm not even enjoying them or eating them mindfully. So like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And then in that situation, like, what are the questions you start asking?
I like to ask myself, and a lot of times I can do this before I even put anything on a plate or in my mouth. I can go, what would nourish me right now? What do I really want? What do I really need in this moment? What would make me feel good in this moment? And if the answer, you know, is peanut M&Ms, then I'll go, really? Okay. But if that didn't work, I'll go, okay. Well, that didn't work. I don't really feel a whole lot better. What would nourish me? Like, really, like, just you have to be honest with yourself when you ask that question. And A lot of the time the answer is, I just need like 5 minutes. I just need a break. I just mm-hmm. need to sit down and take a breather and, take a time out from work or from whatever I was doing and just take a minute for myself. And usually slowing down that, I have kind of one of those worrying minds, and just pausing mm-hmm. and to collect myself. And usually that'll involve that usually prompts me to pray and just mm-hmm. Kind of sit quietly for a second with God. And usually that'll either do the trick in and of itself or lead me to, what do I really need here?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I haven't been getting enough sleep. Maybe I have a problem at work that is really stressing me out and I need to actually solve the problem. Or maybe I have, a really strong emotion or fear or something, and I tend to be a verbal processor, so I need to go call a friend and talk through that.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to figure out what do you need and then find a way to meet that need. And most of the time, meeting the need isn't really going to involve food, and that's fine.
Yeah,
you get to find all of those additional ways to nourish yourself that don't involve food, because they're lots.
Yeah,
like what fills you up? What makes you feel energized and well and grateful and happy? And I mean, food does that sometimes, but sometimes you need a hug.
Yeah, no, and that's I think it's so important to say, like, sometimes food does that.
Yeah, totally.
Like, sometimes the answer is the peanut butter M&Ms, and you're like, sweet, I feel great. Like, that totally solved this for me. It is a joy to share this message of intuitive eating for Christian women with you. We have so much fun creating podcast episodes and resources to teach you the principles of intuitive eating, specifically through a biblical lens. And the reality is, it costs us something to put out the podcast. We can't spread this message of revival without help from women like you. If you find value in what we are creating, would you prayerfully consider supporting the podcast by becoming a monthly member? For less than a price of a fancy cup of coffee, you can support Intuitive Eating for Christian Women by joining our membership program. Help support our ministry for just $5 a month, and we will give you gifts every month in the membership site. You can check out all the details on becoming a member by visiting our podcast website, intuitiveeatingforchristianwomen.com/support. That's intuitiveeatingforchristianwomen.com/support. So I think it's so important to just point out again, all this, it's not this linear process. Like, all of this stuff is, I always explain, like, eating for me used to be black and white, up and down, all in or all out, full restriction, full binge. And it was like this huge roller coaster of like all the way up to just all the way down, crash and burn, and then pull myself up by the bootstraps. Oh,
yeah.
And like, dealing with my emotions was the same way, like all in or all out. And if I failed, I would just crash and burn, and failed in quotation marks, right? All of those things. But it's like now I choose food less, or now it's like there's little waves in my life of like, maybe there's some big, huge emotional thing going on that I have zero control over. Like, that's usually when you really got to like dig in to do some coping, right? Like, there's nothing I can do about this. So my options are to distract myself from the problem, to sit with my feelings, to pray about it, or to do something, right? But often you can't do anything. And you know what? Like, what grace has done for me, this is what I'm getting at here, Erin. What grace has done for me is, I used to make the choice to cope with food, And then I would have to cope with that choice by eating more food, and then cope with that choice by eating more food, and cope with that, like this big spiral of like, do me, I'm an awful person. This is all crap and horrible. But now I can recognize I just ate that cookie because I'm feeling super stressed about getting all this work done before I leave. That's okay. I'm okay. I recognize that's the choice that I made. And now I have another choice to make. Do I want to cope again with that cookie? Or maybe I just need to take a step outside and take a deep breath, walk around the building, come back in and finish these notes. Like what? It's not this all or nothing big. Like if you cope with food, okay. 5 minutes later, you get a chance to make a decision again. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I really like the way you said it as nonlinear, because the other thing with this, it's like, you don't get this in one instance and move on from it and never have to come back again. Like it potentially comes up 20 times a day, every day. And it's kind of what we've talked about in earlier episodes about unlearning bad habits and bad patterns and relearning something that is healthier and more fulfilling and more honoring to God, new ways of doing things that are healthier for you as a whole person, mind, body, and soul, not just better for your eating, better for your stomach, because you're not going to feel sick because you ate, you know, 3 bags of peanut M&M's. It's like a holistic view of dealing with this again and again and again. And because we're humans. We are going to have emotions. We're going to have stress. The point is not to avoid that or numb out. The point is to respond to it in the light of grace. Yeah. And respond to it in a way that serves us and enables us to live on purpose and honor God with our body and our choices and take care of ourselves so that we can take care of other people.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of this is being proactive instead of being reactive, right? So we need to think about the tools in our toolbox. Maybe you need to write down a list of ways that you cope, taking the dog for a walk, calling a friend, like what are praying, journaling, like what are the things that help you cope? Make that list of those things. And then like, okay, what do I need? What do I need in life to help me make those choices that like genuinely help me cope and genuinely help me feel good? Well, I know if I don't get enough sleep, it's hard for me to make those choices. I make more of like the quick fix stress responses, right? So our self-care is huge in being able to cope with emotions without food. And I always say like self-care for Christians is soul care, right? The number one self-care, soul care thing we can do is be in the Word. And if I'm in the Word, daily, regularly, as my self-care, I am way more likely to turn to God for my comfort than anything else. And that's where I really get a lot of strength and a lot of comfort and ability to cope. I might have a piece of chocolate too.
I know? Might too. I love that though. That's so so beautifully put. And I think the soul care is something that Christian women put on the back burner and put themselves last on the list. And just in case you need permission today, I'm telling you, take care of yourself in a way that honors God and helps you to take care of other people. That's what we're here for. And also, I would want to point out that what takes care of you might not take care of me. Everybody's different. So just like my stressors and my triggers might be different than yours, like we have to find out what our own individual triggers are and what our own individual needs are that are being prompted by that and respond in ways that work for us. Like we're giving you lots of great suggestions, but ultimately you've got to get out there and try it and see what feels good for you and what makes you feel like you're in alignment with the Lord and in your body and your needs. And just know that, you know, we can paint a beautiful picture of soul care and You gotta find it for your soul. And that's a process that you can invite the Holy Spirit into and let it be another way that this deepens your faith. This is an exploratory, individual process. And we're sharing all of our personal, experiences with it just to give you an example and let you know you're not the only one dealing with this. We all do it. And we just have to find our path, our own path with it. And doing that with the help of the Lord is going to be such a powerful way to heal your relationship with food and to help you heal your mental and emotional patterns that, you know, maybe if you're in that groove, if it's not serving you and you just are in this cycle, you learn a new way forward that really, really serves your health.
Yeah.
I think that's why this is like, I just reading this principle initially, I honestly thought, I was like, how in the world could you do this without the Lord? Like, how could you? Mm-hmm. It would be so much more difficult. We have such an advantage as Christian women to tackle this, the emotional, stressful things in life. We have help.
Yeah.
The best help. And it makes it so much easier. This would be so much harder. I'm so like, that brings me back to the gratitude at the beginning. Every trigger is an opportunity. Every time we have an emotion that overwhelms us, that is an opportunity to turn to the Lord and learn to rely on Him more deeply. And that's a prompt to pray. That's a prompt to seek His wisdom and how to respond, and just a way to just connect with the Lord. And you know, sometimes you don't have a friend to call and verbal process to, but you always got Him.
Yeah, it's funny because when we talk about like intuitive eating or intuition, like your intuition is not just like a Christian idea, right? Like everybody believes in intuition or like this inner knowing, or I guess I shouldn't just throw out everybody believes that, but that's a pretty widely accepted idea. But it's like, as Christians, we have like this superpower, Holy Spirit intuition. That's like, this isn't just me. I'm not just grasping at myself. Like, I'm also like asking the Holy Spirit in me to align my will with God's will. And it really becomes this amazing point of connection. And, you know, I love that you're pointing out that, not only our coping mechanisms might all be different, or our tools, things that work for us, but also like the things that trigger us or the things that are upsetting for us or the things that don't feel well or work for us and things that do feel good and work for us. It's all different. And God created us that way. And that's something that we really can celebrate. I'm thinking of, I think I shared this with you. I was reading Christy Harrison's anti-diet book, Laying in the Bathtub.
Yes, that's right.
Laying in the Bathtub, I'm reading it. And she's talking about how it's so frustrating. I don't want to quote it wrong, but it was kind of like, it's frustrating often a lot of the things that we say, like to help you calm down or cope or self-care. Because they might not work for everybody. We think we, you know, and she was like taking a hot bath, like who even does that anymore? Like as a joke. And I was dying reading it. Cause I was like, as I'm laying in the bathtub. So.
Well, that's such a perfect example. Cause I hate baths.
Yeah, exactly.
That does not.
Exactly. That's not going to do it for you.
Nope.
And that's like one of my go-tos. It never would have been in the past, but it's one of my go-tos because like taking an Epsom salt bath really helps my autoimmune disease when it's flared up. And so now, even if I don't have a flare up, it just has become this like source of comfort for me. So yeah, see, like it's funny and I'm happy that we're talking about this because I feel like people can get so oh, well, this influencer does A, B, C, and D, so I should do those things too. Or maybe like frustration that the things that someone suggests aren't working for you. And we could be talking about intuitive eating here. We can be talking about all aspects of life. Like, girl, you have to spend some quiet time alone with the Holy Spirit and say, what do you have for me? What works well for me?
Yes, absolutely. I think some of us are just so tired and so frustrated. We just want an answer. Just tell me the answer. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm sorry, sis. I'm sorry. You're mm-hmm. gonna have to figure it out. But these are the components so that you can figure it out. Like,
and give what's yourself triggering permission.
You? Yeah.
Give yourself permission to say, I don't like this, right? Like, we are walkers, Erin, both of us. Yes. Like, that's a big way that I deal with life is my daily walk. I love it. I cherish it. It means the world to me. And I have a friend that's like, I hate walking and I hate saying that to you, but I don't want to go for a walk. It's not fun. It doesn't help me. Like, give yourself permission to try something and not like it. It's okay if it doesn't work out. It's okay if it didn't help you cope. Just try it.
Yeah, it's like when we're trying all these new foods and like reintroducing things, it's like there's no rules anymore. Everything is available. So you try and you see what feels good to you in yep. that moment. And just because something felt good to you yesterday doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work today, by the way. That's a bummer yes. sometimes to learn that the hard way. Yes. But it's possible. And I think that's the benefit also coming back to being spirit-led and being in alignment with all that. It's like, if you can learn this attunement we talk about and listening to your body and listening to the spirit, it's more easy to be led and to follow the cues and end up in something that does work for you instead of just, you know, banging your head against the wall and trying step yeah. one, step two, step three, and it's not working. It's like, just be curious and be led and mm-hmm. see what feels good for you in that moment. And that's, you know, that's the question you ask yourself when you're having the problem. We come yep. back full circle almost. Like, what do I need in this moment? What would feel good? What would soothe me? What would nourish me? What would make me feel well and at my best? Mm-hmm. Those are the kind of questions. And only you and Holy Spirit know the answer to that. So you have permission to explore a lot with this principle. And like you said, it's not linear. Don't expect to get it right and expect it to change all the time. And that's okay. And that's part of this beautiful process. And that is why we need Jesus.
Exactly.
Every well, day.
It's like, I feel this strong urge, Erin, to like pound this one in today for some reason. Like, this isn't like a diet culture where you're on or off. Yes. Like all the principles of intuitive eating, choosing to use some good solid coping tools instead of, you know, numbing things or whatever. Like, it doesn't have to be this all or nothing on or off thing. It's, you know, you might make a choice that you're like, that wasn't the best. That didn't make me feel the best. I could have made a better choice. And then 5 minutes later, you might make the better choice, because it doesn't have to be this all or nothing, pass or fail kind of thing. It's all a let's try it out. And it really just reminds me of our walk with the Lord too.
Yes.
Like, we mess up and there's grace for it.
Amen. Yep. I love that. That's,
yeah,
one of the things that popped out for me so early in the intuitive eating journey, that I've tethered it to faith that way and saw the parallels and said, okay, I can do this. I know yeah. what it's like to walk with the Lord. So now I'm going to walk with him with food and everything yeah. going on health-wise. And just, you know, it didn't click 100%, but I understood more.
Mm-hmm.
It made intuitive eating have so much more depth for me to just kind of open it up to a journey that you're walking on with the Lord. It's just, it's empowering, and it just helps me to always think of it that way. It's like, I am not trying to do this on my own, which is what I was thinking the diet. Like, I'm doing this with God, for God.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're finding you're thinking of, you know, running to the pantry because you just took 3 hours putting your kid to sleep and you only thought it was going to take 10 minutes and you want to pull your hair out. like, yeah, that happens, right? When you're finding that draw to like, oh, I'm just going to go eat this chocolate to like deal with this blah that's in me or whatever it is, who knows? Like, now, sometimes I still eat the chocolate and that's okay. And I say like, oh, I'm going to have the chocolate. But there's like this big gift of that turns me to Christ. There's this big gift of now when I like am running to the chocolate or running to Netflix or running to whatever that those coping tools are, there's this thing that goes up inside of me that says, oh, hey, girl, something's not right. You might want to pray about that. And that is such a gift.
Yeah. Learning to see these triggers as opportunities. It's really just reframing it.
Yeah.
It's so powerful when you can see that. And you will with time.
Yes.
It gets easier the more you do it. And, you know, the relearning process is a process. But the place it gets you to is well worth the effort.
Yeah, so I want to share Psalm 55:22, Erin. This is one that you brought up for this, and I think it's really beautiful. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved.
Mm, that one's good.
Yeah.
I like Hebrews 4:16, too, for just knowing that I can go to God. It says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So I'm thinking time of need, go to God confidently, just go right to him. That's I love that one for that.
And I love that it's like time of need, go to God and it will be met with grace and mercy.
Yes.
Oh, right?
Absolutely.
Fabulous. Yes. So good. So good. So good.
Would you close us in prayer?
I would love to. Father God, first of all, Erin and I we thank you so much for this opportunity to share our experiences with your daughters. We pray that our testimony and our experience will be a bite for them, something to spur them in their walk with you. And we pray that they will be drawn to you, God. I pray that they will have the gift. They will all have the gift of recognizing the next time they're feeling stressed or worried or overwhelmed or anxious, just give them that gift of recognizing, hey, something's off here. And that they'll accept your grace in that moment and feel your grace and the warmth of your mercy. And that they will lovingly, caringly ask themselves, what's going on here? And what do I want to do about it, God? Because you give us that awareness. And I just pray that all of the women will recognize that, God, and that it won't be met with judgment and shame and condemnation, but that it will be met with grace and this desire to love on themselves, to love on their bodies, to take care of themselves, and in so doing, bring honor and glory to you, God. We pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Intuitive Eating for Christian Women. If you love this episode, would you go ahead and just take a screenshot and share it with a friend over on Instagram and tag us in it? We're at intuitive.eating.podcast. We would love to connect with you on Instagram. Plus, it helps us so much to know what you love and what you're learning and what's important to you. And if you really love this episode, would you please go ahead and just head on over to iTunes and leave us a star rating and review? Every rating and review helps more women who need this message find the podcast and start learning with us about how we can all follow Jesus and not diet. This would be an incredible blessing to us and to your sisters in this anti-diet sisterhood that you haven't even met yet. Please consider leaving a rating and review today. We would so appreciate it.
This podcast was produced by Oh Shoot Productions and made possible by the grace of God and the support of women like you. Thank you for being a part of the Intuitive Eating for Christian Women community. We'll see you in the next episode.